Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Well, honey, welcome back to the microphone for our Monday broadcast. This is Chasing the Word.
Good morning. I'm really excited about doing this book right now because I know you spent so long and so many months doing your interpretation of it and reading through and praying through Scripture. And I love the outcome of it. So it's very exciting to me to be able to offer this to our listeners and to be able to go through it together. For me, it is one of my favorite reads in the Bible.
And it is available on our website any day. And of course, there will be study guides on each one of our podcast pages for our Monday studies as we go through the book of John. Our edition of it, we're calling the Dynamic Gospel. For me, it's kind of the most accessible of the Gospels because you feel like you're there with John, experiencing what it's like to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he was known as best friend or the favorite disciple. He probably got kidded a lot during his time with him because Jesus just seemed to have a kind of rapport with John that he had with nobody else on the planet outside maybe his own parents. And there's nobody that was told, take up my mantle, literally take care of my family as Jesus was passing away on the cross. We know there's something special about that relationship, and we hope to dig into that and bring us into the center of that emotional experience of being that close to Jesus in the weeks to come.
I love it so much because it's very conversational. The whole book is just a lot of dialogue and a lot of inner workings of the teachings of Jesus with his closest friends. Yeah. I want to know what Jesus said. I want to know the things that he knew that he wanted to relate to his followers at the time and to apply those things and to integrate those things into my everyday walk with the Lord.
Yeah, the style of Luke and Mark especially are very much like the Twitter Gospels. You get little bursts of ideas and short phrases and very quotable things. Mm-hmm. And in Matthew, of course, we dig deep into the meaning to the Jewish community of what it means to have a Messiah, the one they were not expecting, the one that they rejected and turned away from in their generation. That was Matthew's focus. Everything about John, for me, focuses on what is it like to hear the truth and let the truth set you free.
Right.
So much more of a modern narrative. This sounds like the modern voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was believed that he was the youngest of them, so perhaps he spoke the young people's vernacular.
Perhaps so. So by the time he wrote this, he was quite literate in Aramaic, whatever was left of the original Hebrew, and of the Koine Greek, which was what they spoke on the streets, and spoke them with great fluency. He was a real poet, too. It seems to me that he also recorded much longer passages of Jesus' speeches, and not just go to the punchline. In John, we get into the relationship. I want to keep hammering that home because, for me, the way the disciples responded to the words of Jesus is the story. And the other big principle I think that John makes very, very clear at the beginning of his book is that this is a creation story.
Right.
He establishes his identity as Creator God.
Yes.
We are not talking about an it anymore. We don't look at the Word of God as something that is just words on a page. The Word is a who. That is the big transforming truth for me about what John did. He brought the concepts of the Greeks and things that were so concrete to the Jews and brought them colliding in the person of Jesus. Logos became flesh. The Word of God lived in front of us. When you think about the Word of God having a pulse, when you think about the Word of God having a temperature, it's not dead anymore. It's a person.
Well, in the Greek, the word logos refers to the Greek thought process, and it's a universal divine reason. It's in all of nature and everything around us, yet it transcends all oppositions and imperfections in the cosmos and in humanity. It is the perfect idea of something. It's an eternal and unchanging truth present from the time of creation, and it's available to everyone who seeks it.
They also saw it as being something that was so different from humanity that it was of a different substance altogether, either a vapor that we could pass right through or through us, or it was something that was crystal, like a diamond, like a precious jewel, which is so different in character from us, but is beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
So their concepts of that logos was still one-off. John puts that logos in the middle and says it had a heartbeat. It still does. It's still him, and he still is. And that is something we really have to wrestle with at the beginning of this, because we're not going to be talking about the book of John as being just the story about a person. or about how the disciples interacted with Jesus. This is the story Jesus wanted to write. It's his journal. That's the way John's treating this.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're reading into the heart of Jesus. I really believe that he spent special time with John talking about things, saying, make sure you write this down. Mm-hmm. When you write your book, I can imagine those kind of conversations happening. Jesus knew that generations to come would not know him any other way than by the hearts and the words of those who knew him in the flesh.
Right.
So if we're going to know him, we got to know him through the eyes and the ears and the attentive hearts of those who cared enough to write it. And so we jump into the book of John.
John 1, from the Holman Christian Standard, goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not understand it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him and know the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him and by him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him.
Light and darkness are both referred to in this passage. Mm-hmm. We think about darkness snuffing out the light or the light snuffing out the darkness as if they're material things. But again, we're talking about persons. When he says the light, we know who he's speaking of. It's a person of Jesus. And when it says the darkness did not understand it, that's a person too,
mm-hmm.
or an entity. In other words, the darkness that's in the world really does have a person behind it. And we would talk about that being Satan. We talk about it being demonic. But not that he did not understand it in the way we think. The word really means he just didn't get it. Mm. He didn't want to get it. He refused to get it and to accept it.
He just didn't comprehend what was happening.
There comes a time, I think, when we delude ourselves so much, we just can't comprehend of it being any other way.
Right.
You know, so you think of people that have followed into cults or have fallen into conspiracy theories, things like that. They get to a point where their entire worldview has to be shaped by this new fact.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you could say is going to dissuade them from believing in that, because they have to believe in that because that's the only thing that could possibly exist. It's like that in this chapter. The world system, the darkness, could not comprehend, could not allow for the possibility that the light had come.
Mm-hmm.
It can't possibly be light. So we're talking about real entities here that are intelligent,
mm-hmm.
that are conscious, that are real. They should be able to respond to their creator, but they can't mm-hmm. anymore. So what we have here is a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
The light's here, but we can't comprehend it. So what's going to break the impasse? Only a person entering into this, embodying all of that light, the light, mm-hmm. Jesus, could ever possibly give us a bridge between these two impossibilities.
Well, verse 9 talks about he came into the world to bring light to everyone. It's a kind of light that would bring clarity. It's as if you're looking through a telescope or a microscope, whichever direction you want to focus on it. You can see it, you turn the knobs and it focuses just a little bit more. You readjust your lamp and you can see detail a little bit better, a little more clearly. And this is the kind of light that the word that Jesus brought into this darkness to expose it and to be able to bring clarity to it.
It's different when you focus the light and bring it to a place where it really does reveal things.
Sure.
When it's focused right, when we actually look to where the light is pointing, we'll see things, mm-hmm. the things we really need to mm-hmm. see. And that's what Jesus is doing. He is like a laser on the truth. And we really see the world as it is if we really will see it through his eyes. That's his whole point of saying he mm-hmm. is the light. We need a flashlight. We need a laser to cut through the darkness that's around mm-hmm. us and really catch a glimpse of what God knows to be true out there, what he wants us to know and be aware of. If we don't know what God's thinking, it's okay to ask him.
Yeah.
And ask him for that kind of clarity. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, just let him ask of God.
Mm-hmm.
He will give it without reproach and without chiding you for not knowing better.
Yeah.
He will provide you what you need to discern if we just mm-hmm. ask.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how he is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of his kingdom, wherever it is to be found. In a couple months, I will have been in this chair before this microphone for 4 of those 78 years. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. I could not have imagined how many momentous changes were hiding right around the corner when I said yes to this job. Even now, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's also fair to say that it's brought about challenges that have tried the very fabric of my faith. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. Here's the challenge before us in 2021. We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Once international travel opens back up, we'll need to have raised an additional $100,000 above our current giving in order to go and to give. For 78 years, when we face a challenge like this, we've done two things. One, we ask God what He wants. And two, we tell our friends what we need. Today, we're doing both. God is opening doors to see what He's doing in currently closed countries and to join that work. I'm saying yes. And now I'm sharing the specific need with you so you can say yes, too. And there are still thousands of Bibles we still need to send through our friends at Bibles for the World. It is essential that we raise this new amount of $100,000 this quarter, or we can't proceed with any new outreach and relief programs. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift. If you can, consider making it monthly. I'll be glad to send you a brand new Amazon Echo Dot or Google Home Mini so you can follow our progress each day and hear the Compassion Radio broadcast whenever is the best time for you. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series. Okay, hon, we've talked about the Word itself being a light, being the person of Jesus, and the darkness itself also being realistically defined as entities, humans, demonic powers, the ways that we resist the light. Let's turn and read it from a more modern translation that we've been working on, this Dynamic Gospel book, which is also our offer to our friends and supporters of Compassion Radio for these months that we're going to be doing this series. Mm-hmm. From chapter 1 again, from the Dynamic Gospel. John chapter 1. Before there was anything else, there was God's creative imagination. What He spoke was written in the creation. This creative word was right there with God when it all started. This word was the living, breathing expression of God Himself. As the creative word existed with God in the beginning, so through Him and by Him everything came into being. If it exists, it's because of Him. And not only things. Since He was so full of life, it makes perfect sense that life would naturally come from Him. This real, living, and eternal life then lit up the world so that every man could see what real life is. Mm-hmm. The world is a dark place, but that darkness is no match for the light that has been let loose. The world's darkness will never drive it away or snuff it out. Now, before this was revealed to us, there was a man sent from God to get our hearts ready. His name was John. He knew what to look for and knew before the rest of us that the light was coming. He did not hold back His witness and told us all about it, so that when He was revealed, we would be ready to accept Him as the light of the world. John was not the light himself, but was commissioned to announce the revealing of God's awesome message, and he pointed us to exactly where we should look. The light was coming into the world to make sense of things. We wouldn't be able to escape its brilliance. Though the true Word was now in the world, walking among us, we didn't recognize it yet. Even though the very universe hadn't existed until He called it forth. He came to the people that should have recognized Him, but the nation built on His own book turned its back instead.
I like that John is interjected into this. We know that this is John the Baptist, right, not John the disciple that's writing the book.
In fact, John will never mention himself by name in this entire book.
That's correct. But I like that John the disciple makes sure that we know there was someone who knew Jesus was coming, who knew the light was coming into the world, and he did his level best to make sure that we knew that this light was coming. And he was this voice out there crying out in the wilderness, as one translation says, to bring awareness to this light that was coming to the world.
You know, John is talking here about the things he knows. Mm-hmm. That's what the gospel is supposed to be, good news as we saw it. Mm-hmm. Or as we have it reported to us. John's not worried about the origin story of Bethlehem and stuff. He's focusing on the adult life of Jesus. And thankfully, we have the other Gospels to flesh out the origin story of John the Baptist being a cousin to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So those stories are fleshed out, so to speak, in those other Gospels. John picks it up now by recognizing John the Baptist for his moral authority and for his herald responsibility to mm-hmm. announce the coming of the light.
And John, the disciple here, doesn't feel like he has to set the stage for where Jesus came from, right, or for his birth and for all of the descendants back to David and all of that. He feels like, I think, you know what, that's important stuff. And I believe that maybe other people are talking about that, but this is who Jesus was as I knew him. This is my gospel story too. This is my experience.
And as someone who is deeply religiously and ethnically Jewish, mm-hmm. you would think he'd start with all the important things to Jews, the origin story, the identification of the promise written in the Old Testament, looking forward to the Messiah. He hasn't even talked about Jesus being a Messiah yet.
Well, I get the impression that he's writing to the Greeks.
Exactly.
He's writing to people that don't really care so much about the origin of that.
Or
their histories.
It wouldn't move their hearts much to accept him for being their own personal Messiah because they don't have a sense of their identity being tied up with the promises given through the prophets. Mm-hmm. The promise they've been given is a new one. It is a new testament, a new story, a new telling mm-hmm. of God's grace. And so we talk about that being a whole new epic.
Right.
And that's hard for the Jewish people even now to understand that as far as we as Gentiles looking back to Jesus and living with him, he is everything to us when mm-hmm. it comes to the Old Testament. Of course, we love the stories. We see the origin story of Jesus. For us, entering into this redemption is really about Jesus, always has been. Mm-hmm. That is our gateway. It is our door. It is our light on all the things that were written in the centuries beforehand. John appeals to that. It seems to me like he's kind of doing the same thing that Paul's doing in a different way. Paul being an itinerant minister, going out there to plant churches, John encouraging those churches. My mm-hmm. guess is that this gospel probably circulated around the Gentile churches first. Mm-hmm. For much of his later adult life, his older years, he was on the island of Patmos, banished out there because he had offended so many of the emperors.
Right.
But he was allowed to live a good long life. And so we have this elder of the church speaking the story from a heart of love, from a heart of, this is the path I walked with Jesus. We're getting a journal. We're getting a travel journal. Mm-hmm.
I want to look at verse 11 just real quick because
it's
got some important things in it. In the Dynamic Gospel, you write, "He came to the people that should have recognized him, but the nation built on his own book turned its back instead." In the Holman Christian, it says, "He came to his own and his own people did not receive him." So I looked up some commentary on this, mm-hmm. and when it uses the word own, the Greek word, it's yep. used two times in this verse, in verse 11, and it has two different nuances
right.
to it. The first one is, he came to his own, being those that he created, humanity itself,
right.
and the second own being the people of his origin, the Jewish community,
yeah.
and none recognized him, his own people that he created, and his own family.
His people.
His
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was interesting that John emphasizes that nobody knew who this guy was, that nobody recognized this light when he came into the world.
Until he started opening his mouth
right.
and saying
right.
things. And then they fought it tooth and nail the rest mm-hmm. of his life. But there were so many that responded to it. So he created a vision from the moment he actually said something,
mm-hmm.
from the moment he did something that was supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't escape who he was either. He was going to be like that because of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other way for Jesus to be than exactly who his Father had imbued his earthly body and mind with.
Mm-hmm.
This word coming to life in ways that transcend, but is so wholly man at the same time. And that's the thing we will always wrestle with as human beings. Mm-hmm. How can God be truly man and truly God?
Yeah, that's a tough
one. All of our systematic theologies are built around trying to give us some footholds, some ways to hold on to this truth and not feel completely lost. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it's always going to be a problem, mm-hmm. in the best kind of way. Because if we're not left with some mysteries here, why wrestle with it? Mm-hmm. Why not just give pat answers and tell people, this is the way you need to behave, and this is the way we do this thing, this is the way we get saved. We check off the boxes. No.
And it's all good.
John, this disciple, is telling us we have a huge and amazing mystery standing mm-hmm. right in front of us. You want to go there? I've been there. I'll show you the way.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be looking at through this book of John. Mm-hmm. Is John a reliable witness? Is he a good tour guide? Does he bring to life the story in such a way that we are deeply pulled into it and we want to know more? Mm-hmm. Like the best guys at the history museums, they call them docents. People that are trained to help bring you into the story and help you to understand better what you are seeing along the way. Mm-hmm. It's a great word.
Yeah.
And it's not used many other places. It's meant to describe somebody who not just walks you in the door, doesn't just point you down the hall, but that stays with you while you're absorbing what you're seeing.
So answering questions is important for those people.
And being able to ask great questions. Mm-hmm. That's the rabbinic model, right?
Right.
Jesus didn't do a whole lot of answering in his lifetime. He asked really penetrating and difficult questions, many of which could easily be answered if we're honest. But many times which people did not want to answer and didn't answer, and the evidence of their non-answer is right there in the text. Mm-hmm. And that tells you plenty about our willingness. Are we willing to admit the truth even when it hurts or appears to hurt us?
I like the thought of John writing this to the Greeks because that would be us in the long run, the Gentile nation, to be able to understand more about Jesus' walk here on earth. Because of our human nature, we want to find ourselves in the story. We see a picture of a group, we look for our face in that group, you know, if we know we were there, or our people, we look for our people. Curious minds want to find where they fit in mm-hmm. into the narrative. And we look for that in the Old Testament. And we look at people like Rahab and Tamar and Uriah the Hittite. We look at these people who weren't of the Jewish nation because
but they somehow are but essential to the story.
They were woven in so tightly. And we can see ourselves throughout that thread. And I think that it's important that we can even see ourselves in the thread of the gospel. And I think maybe that's what John is doing here.
Yeah.
He's bringing this outside of the Jewish culture just enough that the Gentile nations can see themselves in the gospel story.
Absolutely.
I really like that about it.
He doesn't just walk the walk and help us to walk the path with him. If you're really going to get behind and inside of a dynamic gospel, like what this book is, you'd have to learn how to dance. And there's lots of that chasing the word that John does through this, that we're going to be following Jesus at full speed ahead.
Right.
And other times where we're just back on our heels saying, he didn't just say that, did he? And we're off balance. But learning how to calibrate with another person, that's what dancing is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing when you're with people you love and having an opportunity to celebrate and dance together. And I mean, I even talk to the Baptists here. They get married too. So whatever your background is, remember that John knows how to laugh. He knows how to cry. He knows how to run. He knows how to be still. He knows how to dance. Mm-hmm. He's going to do all these things and show us how through this book. We'll be back with more on the book of John in this dynamic gospel series for Chasing the Word on next Monday's program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To my my guide. Now hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end.
Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us in 2021. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We've got some great gifts as a thank you for joining us in this adventure. Just ask about them when you call. We'll see you tomorrow.